China has delayed releasing its third quarter GDP figures and other key economic indicators. They were scheduled for release Tuesday morning. It's a highly unusual move and comes as Beijing plays host to the week-long Communist Party Congress, during which President Xi Jinping is expected to secure an unprecedented third term in office. The data for third quarter GDP has been highly anticipated. GDP was expected to have expanded 3.4% in July to September year-on-year, according to a Reuters poll. That's after China's economy grew just 0.4% in the second quarter from a year earlier. The weak growth has been in part down to stringent COVID curbs and a deepening property slump. The National Bureau of Statistics website didn't specify when the figures will be released. Also postponed, September's releases for a host of other figures, including industrial production, retail sales, and the urban jobless rate, as well as data for China's home prices last month.
Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about China. As you saw from the start of the video, the data for the third quarter ending September was due to be released by now. However, it has been delayed and there is no official explanation as to why this has been done. Now, the 20th Communist Party Conference is currently ongoing in Beijing, and this is held every 5 years. And at the end of this conference, it's expected that the current leader, Xi Jinping, will be re-elected for a record third term. So there are now growing concerns that the data has been delayed as a result of not wanting any negative press to come out about China at a time of the re-election. So in today's video, I want to give you an update as to what's going on in the Chinese economy, because the slowdown that we've seen over the course of this year is highly concerning. China is the biggest manufacturer in the world. It produces a lot of goods which it exports all around the globe. And the global slowdown that we're seeing as a direct result of Russia's invasion of Ukraine is obviously impacting on all of their markets, and therefore the Chinese economy is starting to slow. And of course, this is coming on top of the problems that China have been building up over the last 12 or 18 months anyway, with regards to the huge amounts of debt that it's built up in its property sector, and also comes on top of the ongoing zero tolerance policy that the Chinese authorities have been operating with regards to COVID. Now, COVID is something that we all think about as being in the past from an economic point of view. In 2020 and 2021, a lot of economies were heavily impacted because we had extensive lockdowns, businesses were closed, everybody was staying at home. But as time has passed, most of the world has moved away from that environment. But China is still very much focused on a zero tolerance approach. And as it stands at the moment, over 300 million people are affected by some form of lockdown. And to put that into context, that's almost the population of the USA. So this is a huge chunk of the workforce, a huge chunk of the economy, who's being told to stay at home, to be in quarantine. In some cases, people are being issued with electronic wristbands to monitor their movements. Everybody in China has to download the app. And if that app turns red, you are not allowed to leave your home. China has numerous quarantine centers that people are sent to when they're diagnosed with COVID. And in some cases, their apartments are being forcibly entered and disinfected. So it's a really serious situation. And the longer that this goes on, the more it's going to affect the Chinese economy, because it's reducing their ability to be able to produce goods, and it's also reducing domestic demand. So in today's video, we'll have a look at some revised forecasts for global growth that have just been published from the OECD, which shows a reduction against the previous set of forecasts. So everybody's becoming more negative about the outlook for 2023 globally as we head towards that potential global recession. And of course, that will have a big impact on China. It's the second biggest economy in the world, but it's the biggest manufacturing economy. We'll go on to talk about those lockdowns in a bit more detail. We'll have a look at what's going on with regards to exports and imports, GDP and the balance of trade for China. We'll have a quick recap on the situation with regards to Chinese debt, and then we'll have a look at the manufacturing index. And finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think the implications of the slowdown are for the Chinese economy and the global economy. But before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. I'm getting closer to 200,000, so if you could help, that would be fantastic. Don't forget, I always include chapters, so if you don't have time to watch the whole video, you can pick and choose what you'd like to look at. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon, and Amazon shopping links. The OECD, which is the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, is an international agency that works with countries all around the world to help provide detailed information and forecasts and help improve everybody's understanding and knowledge. It recently produced its latest set of forecasts, which are entitled Paying the Price of War, which obviously relates to what's going on in Ukraine right now, and is a downgrade against previous expectations for 2023. And the reason that they've downgraded these forecasts is because of the high prices that are being seen all around the globe. These graphs show the movements in gas, coal, and electricity prices in Europe. And as you'll be fully aware if you follow the channel, there have been big increases in the price of all of these energy products since the start of the Ukraine war. We've also seen a big increase in fertilizer costs, most of which are a byproduct of natural gas. And there's also been a significant increase in food prices. As a result of these ongoing price pressures, the OECD has now downgraded its outlook for 2022 and for 2023. And you can see from this chart, the blue line plots the forecasts that were presented in December 21, which were already showing a slowdown in 2022 and 2023 anyway. But it's now expected that that slowdown is going to be considerably worse. And this table shows the actual forecast that the OECD had presented, and it shows that in 2021, world GDP increased by 5.8%. In 2022, growth is expected to fall to 3%, and the OECD is forecasting that growth in 2023 will only be 2.2%. And the OECD has also broken out its forecast by country, and you can see on the right of this chart that it's given some forecasts for China. In 2021, China achieved GDP growth of 8.1%. However, the forecast for this year is that GDP will only be 3.2%, which is the lowest rate that China will have seen since the 1970s. The OECD is forecasting an element of bounce back in 2023, with GDP increasing to 4.7%, but that's still significantly lower than it was for 2021. So as I said at the start of the video, China is the second largest economy in the world, but it's the biggest manufacturing economy. So therefore, its performance is intrinsically linked to what's going on in the global economy. So as we start to see a slowdown all across the world, that's going to impact on China because all of its buyers will be buying less product, therefore it won't be exporting as much, and therefore it won't make as much revenue. And that's why the OECD has downgraded its forecasts for 22 and for 2023. So as I mentioned at the start of the video, the Chinese authorities are still pursuing a zero tolerance policy with regards to COVID lockdowns. So what that means is that if they find one case, one isolated case, they are locking down whole cities. So millions of people are being told to stay home. They can't go to work. They can't do anything. They can't leave their apartments until all of the cases have been eradicated. And obviously, when you've got a population of 1.4 billion, some of these cities are absolutely enormous. And the lockdowns are being enforced by the military and they are taken very seriously. So nobody is breaching any of these rules. And as it sits right now, over 300 million people in China are currently affected by some form of lockdown. And as I said at the start of the video, that equates to around about the population of the USA. The USA population is about 323 million. So it's pretty close to being all of the people in America being told, stay at home, don't do anything. So you can imagine what the impact of that is on the economy. You've got 300 million people who are entirely unproductive. All those factories have closed down. Those people are not doing anything. So that is going to have a knock-on impact to exports over the next few months because it will take time to get those factories up and running. They'll need to make more purchases. They'll have a backlog of orders. They'll have production problems when you switch off all of your machinery and shut everything down. It generally causes issues. So there is going to be some more problems further down the road. And the problem that China has is that they're still sticking with this policy. So if we get a number of cases popping up all over China, theoretically, the whole of China could go back into lockdown if enough cases came in all of the different cities. And that, of course, would be disastrous for the Chinese economy. It wouldn't be good news for the global economy because we are dependent on China producing massive amounts of product. But it would be entirely disastrous for China. So part of the issue that China's facing right now is because of the wider environment. We're seeing a slowdown in global demand, and that's impacting on the amount of demand for Chinese products. but partly it's self-inflicted. Because the government is taking this zero tolerance approach, it's causing them major problems. And until China drops that policy, they're going to continue having problems for the rest of 2022 and potentially all the way through 2023 as well. Chinese exports rose 7.1% in August, which at face value you would consider is a very good result. However, this compares to growth of 18% in July. So we're looking at almost an 11% fall month on month. And the reduction in exports is the first that's been seen from China since April. And most concerningly of all, the figure of 7.1% compares to market expectations of 12.8%. So the market was expecting the growth to be almost double the actual result that China has delivered. This table shows the growth in Chinese exports over the last 5 years. And you can see that there is a distinct pattern to each year. In each year, there's a significant drop in exports at the start of the calendar year, which ties in with the Chinese New Year celebrations, when a lot of the factories close down entirely for a number of weeks. Thereafter, we have a big upswing, and there is generally then a gradual increase throughout the whole of the year, and then we have the big downturn again when we get to the following year's shutdown. If we look at the period from the start of 2020 to the latest set of figures, you can see that in 2020, there was a period of strong growth followed by the annual dip. In 2021, we had exactly the same pattern. But the big concern that everybody has right now is what's happening in 2022. This graph includes the data for August. So August should be a period where we see continued growth through to the end of December, and then we would see a significant dip. But if you look at what's happened in August, we're already starting to see a significant dip. So this is entirely unexpected and is out of kilter with what's been happening with China in every year over the last 5 years. So that's why there is major concern right now, because at this point in the calendar year, we should be seeing either continued growth or a slight leveling off. We should not be seeing a major downturn. And the worry is that if this continues through into September and October, then the forecast growth in GDP of around 3% for China in 2022 will not be achieved. And there are a number of factors that are affecting these exports right now. As I mentioned at the start of the video, the global slowdown is having a big impact on China. In the same way as we've talked about in oil, China is geared up to produce massive volumes of products. So it needs those markets to keep taking those products in order to keep feeding the machine. If there's a slowdown in demand, so the rest of the world doesn't want to buy that quantity of product, it's going to cause a major problem for China, because they've geared up all the factories, they've got all the employees, they're buying in all of the materials. They need to keep producing massive volumes of products. So if there's a slowdown, then that's going to hurt the Chinese economy disproportionately, because they've got all of the fixed costs in place. And if they can't sell those products at the expected prices, then the revenues will fall and that will have a huge hit on the Chinese economy. Chinese imports rose by just 0.3% in August, which compares to the 2.3% rise that was seen in July and is significantly below the forecast level of 1.1% that the market was expecting. Now, you may be wondering why the level of Chinese imports is important, because China is predominantly an exporter. But China does import a lot of raw materials. So it's importing product raw materials and it's importing energy raw materials in order to keep its manufacturing base moving. So if there's a slowdown in imports, that gives us an indication that there's going to be a slowdown in exports further down the line. Because obviously you need to import all the raw materials before you can manufacture them and then export them. So there is a lag between the volume of imports and the volume of exports. So if we're seeing a significant slowdown in imports, then that gives us the heads up that it's likely to start impacting on exports. And we've already talked about exports slowing down in August already, but now there's an unexpected reduction in imports, it's likely to accelerate the slowdown in exports. Now, I'll come on to talk about the Chinese yuan currency in a moment, but one of the issues that China is facing is that the yuan has been deteriorating in value, which means that the cost of any imports in dollars is rising. So that's causing an increase in input prices for China at a time when there is high levels of inflation all around the world and weakening demand. So as a manufacturer, what you don't want to do is have to increase your prices at a time when a lot of countries are already struggling with high inflation and demand is starting to flatten off. The other major factor that's affecting the volume of imports for China right now is the severe lockdowns that are continuing to go on. As I mentioned at the start of the video, over 300 million people are currently in some form of lockdown. So that means that those factories are not able to produce any of the goods, so they can't operate. So that is reducing the demand for raw materials and for energy because those operations are not functioning right now. And that, of course, will have a knock-on impact to the volume of exports. So there's a problem with regards to general demand in the globe, but there's also starting to be a problem in China with actual productivity caused by the COVID lockdown. So we all thought that we'd got away from the COVID pandemic, that it was no longer newsworthy, nobody needed to talk about it. But actually, because China has this zero tolerance policy, it's still impacting on all of their industries. And that, of course, will then have a big impact on the Chinese economy. Now, the balance of trade is a really important metric for any country. It measures the difference between what you're receiving in terms of cash payments, and what you're paying out. And China is a net exporter. It's producing lots of goods for the rest of the world, and it has a positive balance of trade. It's being paid more than it pays out. But the important thing to look at from China's perspective is what's happening with regards to the trend in the balance of trade. This chart shows the movements in the balance of trade over the last 12 months. And you can see that in August, the balance of trade has fallen significantly to around $79 billion. And this compares to $101 billion in July. So that represents a fall of almost $22 billion in the month. And once again, this result has surprised the market. Everybody was expecting the balance of trade to be significantly higher, predominantly because of what we've just talked about with regards to exports and imports. The market was expecting China to have exported more goods, therefore it would have received more revenue and would have been in a more positive position. This chart shows the movements in the balance of trade over the last 5 years. And if we ignore the massive dip that was seen in 2020, which was a direct result of the global COVID-19 pandemic, you can see that there is a regular pattern to the movement in the balance of trade. At the start of the year, when the Chinese manufacturing industry goes into shutdown, there is a dip in the balance of trade, and then we see a consistent growth over the course of the year, and then as we get to the year end, there is another dip. However, if we look at what's happened in 2022 to date, you can see that there has been a significant increase in the first half of 2022, but we have now seen a major downturn in August. And the concern is that this downturn should not be happening right now. China should be carrying on with a healthy balance of trade, and when it gets to the year end, then they will see a downturn. The fact that this downturn has come in August is causing major concerns, particularly when you take into account the outlook for global trade and global demand. If we're going into a global recession, that will reduce the demand for Chinese products and therefore will reduce the amount of exports and therefore will reduce the balance of trade. So there's a real possibility here that we could see this balance of trade figure continuing to come down over the course of the next few months and significantly dent the cash reserves of China. This chart shows the movement in the Chinese yuan against the US dollar over the last 6 months. And the reason that I wanted to look at the exchange rate against the dollar is that the USA represents the single largest export market for China. In 2021, around 18% of all exports went to the USA. But it's also important because the dollar is an international currency and it's a benchmark for a lot of contracts. So what this chart shows is that back in March, one US dollar equated to around 6.4 Chinese yuan. You can see that the rate has deteriorated significantly, and it's now trading at around 7 yuan to one US dollar. Now, one of the most concerning set of statistics coming out of China right now are the gross domestic product figures. Now, each country releases its GDP in a different format and at different times, and China releases its quarterly figures to the market. So the last figures that we have right now are actually for June 22. We're waiting for the next quarter, which finishes at the end of September. And this chart shows the movement in quarterly GDP over the last 3 years. And you can see that in the most recent quarter, gross domestic product fell by 2.6% in China. And this was the first fall that's been seen since the COVID pandemic period. And this is obviously unexpected for a country that has grown rapidly and is forecast to become the largest economy in the world at some point over the next 3 years. But it's not just the June figures that are causing concern. When you look at the trend, China has been struggling with GDP for a long period of time. Each of the last 5 quarters has seen a very low level of GDP growth. And this is not what's expected for a country that is due to become the largest in the world economically. And the result for the 3 months ended in June 22 was obviously before we've gone into a global recession. So this was at a time when the globe was still doing okay. But we have had a big impact from the Ukraine war. As you'll know following the channel, following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, we saw a huge increase in oil prices and gas prices and food prices and other commodities. And China is a big importer of a lot of those products. And so it has suffered the impact of those price increases. Nobody has been immune to what's happened in Ukraine. But even taking that into account, the figures here are very concerning. They're very shocking. And I think as we go forward, if we see another quarter of falling GDP in China, then we are seriously looking at a major economic downturn occurring in China. The generally accepted definition of a recession is when we have 2 consecutive quarters of falling GDP. And 2.6% fall in GDP in June is a significant fall. The UK is currently talking about a recession, but it's seen 0.1% fall in GDP, so a flatlining. 2.6% fall is significant and material. And if we see a similar set of numbers coming through for the end of September, then China will officially be in recession. Now, if you follow the channel, you'll know that prior to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, I posted a lot of videos talking about the debt levels in China. The property developer Evergrande is the most indebted company in the world. It has over $300 billion worth of debt. And there are a lot of other property developers who have huge amounts of debt also. And that whole sector is really putting a lot of pressure on the Chinese economy. Because it's been driving growth over the last 10 years, they've been building huge cities and employing millions of people. And there's been a lot of investment and a lot of people have been buying property. And it was seen as a no-lose gamble at one point. But the tide has turned and everything has started to go sour. And one of the reasons that that happened was that the Chinese authorities brought in the 3 red lines, which was meant to bring back all of the property developers into line. But all that it did is put most of them into default and meant that they couldn't access any more capital and caused mass falling confidence in the property sector in China. So it's a complete mess right now. And I wanted to talk right now about the debt levels in China, but I don't want to talk about individual companies or the sectors. I want to talk about government debt. So the amount of borrowing that the Chinese authorities have built up. And this is a really interesting set of stats to look at because China is a net exporter. It has a positive balance of trade. So when you think about it in those terms, it should be building up large amounts of cash. And therefore, it shouldn't really need to be building up huge amounts of debt because it should be able to fund all of its investment and growth from the cash that it's generating. Now, this table shows the amount of government debt as a percentage of gross domestic product. And as we discussed previously, you would have expected China's GDP to be increasing, and therefore the percentage of debt to GDP should either be staying level or falling. But as you can see from this chart, there has been a significant increase in government debt to GDP in every year over the last 10 years. And in 2020, there was a significant movement. Now, we don't have the figures for 2021. They've not been released, but it's extremely likely that there has been a continued increase in the amount of government debt. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that I posted a video a while ago talking about the potential secret debt bomb that exists in China because a lot of local authorities have been borrowing heavily and they are now potentially all going to go bust. So what we're seeing in China is a massive increase in government debt. at a time when GDP is now faltering. So it's very likely that the government debt to GDP levels are significantly higher than 66%. Given the big increases in debt and the fall in GDP, there is a possibility that in China right now, the percentage debt to GDP could be above 100%. Manufacturing is the main driver of China's economy. And the Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index is an index that's used globally to see whether or not manufacturing is growing or contracting. And this chart shows the movement in Chinese manufacturing PMI over the last 12 months. And the key metric here is whether the bar is above 50% or below 50%. If it's above 50%, then the industry is growing. If it's below 50%, then the industry is declining. And what this table shows is that in the 8 months of 2022 through to the end of August, the PMI index was below 50% in 5 out of the 8 months. Now, for the number one manufacturing country in the world, you would have expected this index to be significantly above 50%. The fact that it's below 50% means that we're seeing a decline in manufacturing. And for a country such as China, which is entirely dependent on manufacturing, this is a major concern. And it's particularly concerning because the index has been significantly below 50% on a number of occasions. In March and May, it was down to around 48%, and in April, it had dropped to 46%. So what we're seeing here is continued weakness in the sector, and this is one of the reasons why there are major concerns as to what is going to happen for China over the course of the next 3 to 6 months. Because if manufacturing does go into decline and we see a significant movement in these figures, if we're down to 45 or 40%, then that will have a huge impact on the Chinese economy. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because China is the second largest economy in the world at the moment, and it's forecast to overtake the USA at some point over the next few years. And the economy of China is entirely dependent on manufacturing. They've got the lowest cost labor force in the world. They've also got a lot of people, and they've set up huge factories. So it's the manufacturing heartland for everybody today, and it's a bellwether of what's going on globally. Now, if you follow the channel, you'll be perfectly aware that we are now on the verge of a global recession. We've got really high rates of inflation all across the world. We've got rising interest rates in many economies, and it's forecast that we're going to go into a major slowdown. And of course, a major slowdown globally is going to impact on the biggest manufacturer because demand will start to fall, and therefore China won't be able to sell as much product. And the problem that China has is that everything is set up to continue growing year on year. They've got all of their workforce lined up. They've got all of this manufacturing lined up. And if there is a slowdown, it's going to cause major problems. But what I'm talking about today isn't related to that slowdown. The things that we've been through in this video show that there are fundamental problems in the Chinese economy right now. The lockdown policy that's been followed by the Chinese authorities since 2020 is causing the economy major problems. Because when you're locking down whole cities of 20 or 30 million people, then that means that all the manufacturing, all the productivity in those areas grinds to a halt. And that's going to cause major problems because that means you're not earning the revenue from those exports. The people aren't being paid, or if they are being paid, the companies who are paying them are having to make losses in order to do that because they haven't got the revenue to pay people. So it's causing them major problems. And on top of that, we've also got the impact of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And as I'm sure you're all fully aware by now, the price of oil and gas and a lot of commodities has risen dramatically over the course of the last 6 months as a direct result of that invasion. And that's caused a massive increase in input prices. So energy costs feed through into the price of everything. And this is putting pressure on all countries, but particularly on China, because they're basing their whole economy on a low cost of production. So if their costs start to rise, then they need to pass those costs on. And that's one of the reasons why the currency has come under pressure over the last 6 months or so. So what we can see in the figures that we've been through today is that exports are now starting to slow down. They've come in significantly lower than expected for August. Imports are also starting to slow down. And that's bad news for China because as the imports slow down, there'll be a lag effect on future exports. So it's likely to have a multiplier effect. As a result of those two factors, we're starting to see a reduction in the balance of trade. And as we went through in some detail, the GDP in Q2 in China fell by 2.6%. And if we see a further decline in Q3, then China will officially be in recession. And added to all of those factors, China has also got an increasing debt burden. So we've got a combination of a variety of factors here that are all pointing to major problems for China over the next 3 to 6 months. And then when you add in on top of that, the global slowdown, so a reduction in demand all across the world, then that's likely to put further pressure on the Chinese economy. So the overall summary here today is that there are dark clouds gathering over China right now. And it's likely that we're going to see the country go into a recession in the short term. And that recession could get really deep and really hard if the rest of the world goes into a recession at the same time. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I haven't even started talking about what's going on with regards to Chinese property developers. The Chinese economy has been fueled over the last 10 years or so by a massive growth in real estate. Huge companies have been building massive amounts of property and selling that property to Chinese individuals. It's been seen as a no-risk gamble. You can buy property, it goes up in value, everyone's a winner. Unfortunately, that model has now reversed. The market has started to soften and a lot of confidence has disappeared from Chinese buyers. And we're seeing those big property developers now starting to creak and groan and default on their debt. And it's likely that we could see a variety of them either going under or being nationalized. We've already started to see that process. It's likely to continue. Now, the problem that you've got with nationalization is that the government needs to have enough money to be able to fund all of those projects and build them out to make sure that the people who've paid in advance for those apartments actually can take delivery. And as the government comes under more pressure and as the economy goes into recession, there's going to be a big question mark as to whether or not the government are able to do that, whether they can bail these companies out, or whether we'll start seeing some of these giant property businesses going bust. And if we do, then that could further accelerate the recession problems in China, and we could be looking at some serious issues over the course of the next 3 to 6 to 9 to 12 months. So hopefully you found today's video useful, informative and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up. Drop me some comments if you'd like me to go into more detail on some of these issues in the Chinese market, and I'll have a look into that. And if you haven't done so already, then please don't forget to subscribe.